When God's presence is here and we can have such an awesome fellowship with Him. Thank you, God. I have the privilege this morning of sharing God's word with you. Now I just need to remember where I put my Bible. Thank you, Yaku. I think all the kiddies can go out if they've not been taken out. please can you take them out? I had a very, very rough 3 weeks. My fiance isn't here for the next 3 weeks. She went to visit her family, and I miss it terribly. I even went yesterday, and I put on clothes that she would pick out for me, and I went with a friend and went and ate the food that she would eat, and I even shared a piece of lemon meringue at Mug and Bean with one of my friends, and that's what we usually do, and I just remember, and I'm just like, I want to feel so close to her, but the fact is she isn't here, and I can't spend intimate time with her, and sometimes I think that's what we do as charismatic Christians. We like to do the things that represent God, but we never actually take the time and spend time with Him. Going to church is important. Reading the Bible is very important. Praying is very important. But those things do not define our relationship with God. What you share with Him in that most intimate place, when you are honest with Him in that most intimate place, that is where you build relationship. I'm going to share out of my own life. I don't want to. I really don't want to. But I am going to, because I actually failed as being the man in our relationship this week. And it was just because God wanted to shake my world and draw my attention to Him so that I would run back to Him. But we're going to get to that. Let me not spoil the story till the end. I'm going to speak about God's holiness. But first, before I speak about this, it's not a condemning word. God is love and He's also holiness. There is two sides of Him. And sometimes we fall over on the holiness side, and God is just bad, and it's fear, and I have to do. And sometimes we fall over on the love side, where we just sin and say, oh, God will forgive me. I'll just come back again. We kind of use His grace as a get-out-of-hell-free ticket, if I can call it that. Like, oh, God, I planned my sin. That's what I did when I didn't give my heart to Jesus. I said, on Friday, I'm going to party. On Saturday, I'm going to party and use a bit of drugs. And then I'll use some steroids the week after that and go to the gym a bit. But then I'll go to church and then I'll ask forgiveness for my sins because I know God is gracious and He will forgive me for my sins. But I had a perverted image of His love and I didn't know His holiness. I didn't have the fear of God. And the story actually starts about 3 weeks ago when I told God, I am not like Israel. Very proudful. I said, I'm not like Israel. I don't fall into sin and renounce God and then come back to Him again. And I am like Israel because in a sense, when it goes good, I rely on myself. And when it goes bad, I'm like, I'm undone before God. Lord, help me. I'm not going to make my deadline. The work is too much. I'm not going to make this. But instead, why wasn't I undone on Monday? Why wasn't I undone and say, Lord, even though I know I'm in a safe space in a comfortable zone currently, I still need You. I can't do this work. I can't play the sport that I'm good at. I can't be the leader that I am without You. And He has given us certain skills and aptitudes, but if those come between you and Him, He will remove it because He's jealous God and He's jealous for us. And that's why He sent Jesus, so that He can have intimate relationship with us, so that we can share our most intimate thoughts and our heart's desires with Him, and also that He imparts His intimate heart and desires for us. But if something dethrones Him inside of that most holy place when you've given your life to Jesus, then He will remove His grace and allow you to fall so that you would run back to Him. And I'm gonna read a lot of scriptures, so just bear with me. And it might be long, but I think this is very important for us to know. The title of my sermon is The Thorn in My Flesh. You will see what I mean with the thorn in my flesh at the end. But I'm first going to tell the story of Israel. And how we are very similar to Israel. Holiness is to be separated to God. To have nothing of this world. It's to be separated to God. And we actually see it's a scary and a frightening part, but it's also an awesome part of God's character when we see instances in the Bible, such as Noah, where he obliterates the whole earth and he just keeps a few people. The scripture actually says their sins cried out to them. There were wickedness in the earth. And it's a point where God just decided he's going to obliterate everything and just keep Noah, because Noah was a God-fearing man. He had God's fear in his life. Same with Abram, Sodom and Gomorrah. If you can remember Sodom and Gomorrah, the same scripture says that their sin cried out to them. And God actually came down with two angels to come and see whether their sin are really that grave that it cries out to heaven. And then Abram intercedes for them. And Abram says, even he asks God, he says, God, if you permit me, because he was a God-fearing man. He says, God, if you permit me, if I find grace in your sight, if there are 50 righteous people, please save Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says, even if there's 50. And it continues as Abram, he even says again, Lord, permit me. About 5 times, then he goes to 45, and he goes to 40, and he goes to 35, and then at the end, he ends at 5, and God says, even if there are 5 righteous people, I would save Sodom and Gomorrah. But the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah cried out against God, and he incinerated them. He saved Lot, because when those angels came to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he fell on his face, and he had the fear of God in his life. Abram, we know he's like the father of faith. He is so inspiring. Because you know what? When he had to offer up his son, there wasn't an example in scripture for him to see that God is able to raise someone out of the dead. Jesus only died a while later. And in Acts, it actually clarifies how he went through with offering up his son. He had faith that God would raise up his son. And it actually says, I think we can put up Genesis 22, verse 12. Before I read that, Isaac was Abram's promise from God. And I'm going to say something radical. Even the promises of God can dethrone God, because he started to love Isaac more than he loved God, and God tested his faith. So we shouldn't be deceived that it's only the things of this world. It can even be God's promises. When we love and honor those things that God promised for us more than we love Him, He will take us to a place where we won't be able to return back and say, this thing is still enthroned inside of me. When you become reborn Christian and you say, Lord, I don't want to live for anyone else except you. He sits on this throne, no one else. And sometimes in our walk, like with Abram, we get something or someone that replaces God for a moment, but he doesn't allow it. There it takes Abram to offer up his son. And it actually says that on the third day he saw the place. So Abram, where he had to offer up Isaac. So Abram, for 3 days, I can just guess what he had to go through. This is his son, the promise that God has given him, and he waited so long for. Now he needs to offer him up. I bet Abram had to hear very clear from God, because to offer up your son, you must be like so in tune with Lord, and you must walk with him, because it can be deception. Anyways, and then Genesis 22 verse 12, and he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abram was that God-fearing man. And then just a little bit later in Genesis 24, it won't be up there, where he had to choose a wife for Isaac. He says, do not choose someone from the Canaanites, because they were not part of God's people. And God knew that they would be the fall of Israel if they were to continue. And Abram understood this holiness of God. He's like, they cannot enter this family. The unholy of the Canaanites cannot enter into the family. And And that is when he, Abram understood this, when he chose the bride of Isaac. Thank you, dat julle toegemaak het. So we see it with Noah, we see it with Abram. And then we also see it with Moses. And this is a very heavy scripture, but it's awesome because it's part of God's character. The golden calf. Now Moses went up to Mount Sinai and we worshiped God and we gave him the Ten Commandments on the tablets. And then in the middle of worship, while Moses is worshiping God, he says, go down to Israel because they have made themselves an idol. They have forsaken God. And Moses runs down and he's angry and he throws down the tablets and he asks Aaron, which was his brother and also one of the Levites, which was God's priests or prophets. And it was his priests. And he asks them, what have you done? And something happened in Israel's heart where they have shifted from their first love to a second love. And this was this gold image. And it doesn't stop there. It's actually very awesome, but also fearful, that Moses says, those that are with God, come stand on my side. And he destroys all those that do not stand on the side of the Lord. And he obliterates even the people of Israel. Because God is holy. And he cannot let his name be contaminated. What we need to understand is that Israel was used in the beginning to portray God's image. And for God to portray a perverted image would not be a true reflection of him. So there was this side of God, even though loving, even though kind, also holy, where he does not allow unholiness to come into his image. There's something he holds very dear. And that is his name. And we need to be in awe and reverence and respect of his name. I think many times in the charismatic church, we throw up our hands and we are all for the love of God. And we lack the fear of God. My question is, why in the churches in the East, where their decision to follow Christ means they will lose their family, they will lose their job, they will lose their provision in the natural, miracles happen like this in the church because they have a fear of God. Why don't miracles happen in the Western church? Because God loves us too much. Because if he would manifest his presence here, we would die. Because I believe we are a backslidden church. Church of Revelation, where God speaks about a lukewarm church. Ma'am, sir, we are that lukewarm church. Because we have become dispositioned towards God's holiness. But Moses intercedes after that for Israel. Because God said his anger will burn furiously against Israel. And you know what? He relents. God relents. And we have Jesus now that is constantly interceding for us. So the fear of the Lord should not drive us away from God. It should drive us to Jesus. Jesus that intercedes for us and say, Jesus, take this. I don't want this. I don't want this unholy part of my life to be part of me any longer. Exodus 34, verse 12 to 17. After relenting, after God removing his fear or his anger from Israel, he says, I'm going to renew a covenant. But he says, don't be intimate with what is unholy. He warns them again, and he warns us every day. Take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, lest it be a snare in your midst, but you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and cut down their wooden images, for you shall worship no other God. For the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. God is jealous for us. He doesn't want us to serve anything else other than him. Verse 15. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land and they play the harlot, sleeping around, om rond te mors with their gods and make sacrifices to their gods. And one of them invites you, and you eat of his sacrifices, and you take of his daughters for your sons, and his daughters play the harlot with their gods, and make your sons play the harlot with their gods. You shall make no molded gods for yourselves. God warns them, do not be intimate with what is unholy. I'm not saying I have a passion for people that do not know Jesus Christ. I don't say don't mingle with them. I'm just saying don't allow their habits, don't allow the things that they are busy with to enter into that most holy and dethrone God and make it part of yourself. Show them rather the love of Christ. Give your all. But it doesn't mean you can go to them with kippies, because a different spirit operates there, or a club. A different spirit operates there. When I came to salvation, I went to the clubs. I went to minister to the clubs because I knew that's the place where I got hurt the most. But there's a different spirit that operates there, a different spirit that imparts. It's not Jesus Christ. And if you don't take a team of Christians with you, it becomes difficult. And you fall again. After I got saved, I fell with smoking again. I fell with drinking again. I fell with masturbation again. But God took me to that point where I would not fall in that again. And he said, Johnny, we're going to eradicate this unholy stuff in your life. Because scripture says in 1 Peter, I think it's 1 Peter 1. I wrote it down here. So it won't be up there. 1 Peter 1 verse 16. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. God has called us to be set apart. Not to be removed from this world, but we are separate from this world. We don't find our joy in it. And I'm going to say some stuff that we see as idols are usually, no, we worship other gods. Can be yourself that you worship. That is one of my biggest challenges. But I'll also get to my story later. And it can be the series that you watch that consumes your time. It can be the movies that you watch that consumes your time. It can be the friends that you hang out with that consumes your time. And then you give God those bits and scraps that is left. Intimate time with him is holy. And I've perverted it so many times. I would have my cell phone with me. My cell phone would ring and I was busy reading Bible. And then I would pick up my cell phone. And I would just don't have that respect and reverence and awe of holy time with him. Intimate time with him. As we go further, we can see that this happens a lot of times with Israel. Israel refuses their promise before they enter Canaan. And then he asks them, how long will my people reject me? And Moses pleads with God again. And then God relents again. But this time, something else happens. Let's look at Numbers 14, verse 22-24. Now, Israel has done this many times. They've constantly done this, and we often also constantly do it. So Numbers 14, verse 22-24, because all these men who have seen my glory, haven't we seen God's glory? And the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, haven't we seen healings? Haven't we received words from the Holy Spirit? And have put me to the test now these 10 times. And have not heeded my voice. He speaks about obedience here. They certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who reject me see it. But my servant Caleb, now listen to this, he always has an exception. He always has an exception. When he destroys a nation, when he destroys the earth, Noah is there. He keeps Abram and he saves Lot. And the same here. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, and he has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Not even Moses was allowed to enter the promised land. And we're going to get to that scripture. Not even Moses was excused. Only Caleb. Only Caleb entered the promised land because he gave himself fully. Sometimes God will remove a generation and he will be gracious towards that generation because they have a different conviction. They grew up in a different era and time. But he will raise up a Joshua generation, the remnant, those that are left, that have a fear for God to carry out his will, to carry out what he has called us for. And that is to spread the gospel and the good news. And I know it seems like I'm not preaching the good news, but we'll get to that as well. If we can go to Deuteronomy 32, verse 51-52. It's the ESV translation. It's the English Standard Version. Because you broke, this is about Moses, while Moses wasn't let into the promised land. Because you broke faith with me in the midst of the people of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. Because you did not treat me as holy in the midst of the people of Israel. For you shall see the land before you. but you shall not go there into the land that I am giving to the people of Israel. So there is a part of God's character that we need to understand is holy. The best example that I have is a moth and a flame. The flame isn't angry at the moth, but the moth is so drawn to the flame that when it gets too close, it gets incinerated. The flame wasn't mad at the moth. It didn't have an issue with the moth. The moth just didn't respect the boundaries. And the moth died. And that's the best picture I have of God's holiness. And I've been challenged by God's holiness a lot these last 3 weeks. Because, quite frankly, it wasn't there. And the fear of God is revelation. It's not head knowledge. It's not to be anxious, and it's not om bang te wees. It's not that image that you have towards God, but it's a reverence and an awe and a respect for Him that you know that when you cross this line, there is consequences. That His holy character does not allow that. Like, my thorn in my flesh, which I'm going to come to, is pride. I love it when God moves, but then I draw the worship towards myself instead of glorifying God. I think I am anointed. I think I am very cool and awesome. That is my thorn in my flesh. And when I operate in the gifts of the Spirit, and I draw worship to myself, so my idol is myself. And I would be like, God, I don't watch pornography anymore. God, I don't get consumed in all these series and all these this, and I don't go to clubs anymore, I don't drink anymore, I don't use drugs anymore, I don't have an obsession with my body anymore. But my thorn in my flesh is me, and I couldn't see it. And I'll shed a light on this again a bit later, but let's first look at more scripture. Like I said, a new generation was allowed to go into Canaan. And I want us to read Deuteronomy 20, verse 17 to 18. Now, God used the remnant, those that remained, because they were 40 years, because of disobedience, we were 40 years in the desert, where it was actually a 2 years journey. And a whole generation died out, that generation that played the harlot with God. And then God gives the same commandments and the same warnings to Israel, those few that remained left that feared God, but you shall utterly destroy them, the Hittite and the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. I don't know what type, just as the Lord your God has commanded you. It speaks about obedience. Lest they teach you to do according to all their abominations, which they have done for their gods, and you sin against the Lord your God. God, sometimes people would think that God was this angry God and He just destroyed people and He just removed them and destroyed the Canaanites, but He wasn't. He knew that they would never turn to Him, and He knew that they would turn Israel towards their gods. So there was a removing of what was unholy because He wanted to protect Israel. And that's how He wants to protect our relationship as well. He will remove the unholy things in your life so that the relationship you have with Him gets saved. Joshua lived very, very close to Moses. At the time when he came down from the mountain of Sinai, when he saw they built the calf, he stayed in the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God at that time. Today, God dwells in us. When you have received Christ and you've received the Holy Spirit, He dwells in us. But they have a tabernacle where God's presence was. And Moses would go in there and he would plead with God because of Israel and for the forgiving of their sins. And he would go out and he will come back to the camp. But scripture says Joshua stayed there because Joshua understood something about God's holiness. And after he went into Canaan, God said he should remove these Canaanites and the Hivites. And when he comes to Jericho, I love the story of Jericho. He understood something about God's holiness. And this is actually one of the key stories that I want to shed light on for us today. And then I'm going to tell you what the thorn in my flesh is. Let us quickly just read Joshua 6 verse 9. Oh, no, I'm going to tell you the story first. When they came to Jericho, God said to them, this is this massive city and there's big walls. And there's no way Israel can penetrate these walls. There's no way they can come in. This is a massive enemy. This is someone that needs to be eradicated. And they didn't actually fight one fight against Jericho. They were obedient to God and it released the supernatural in their life. God's presence was with Israel at that time. So he said, you must take the Ark of Covenant, and the Ark of Covenant carried God's presence. On the top, the mercy seat. There, the Holy Spirit resided. And he said, every day, once around Jericho, and then on the seventh day, seven times, and then you should shout. And then the walls will fall down. And it happened exactly like that. But because Joshua knew something about God's holiness, look at this. This is amazing. I never saw this in Scripture. Joshua 6 verse 9. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. He made sure that there were warriors before and after the presence of God. He protected what was holy. Even though he sent them around Jericho, he protected what was holy. So he understood this concept of protecting what was holy for God. And then in Joshua 6 verse 18, he says to them, after they slain Jericho and the walls came down, they destroyed everything. Verse 18, and you by all means abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. And then Joshua 7 verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. That God warned them, do not take it. Do not take of the accursed things. Committed a trespass regarding the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. And just read about Joshua 7 verse 11b. For they have, it's the second part of the verse, for they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it amongst their own stuff. They took some of the accursed things, the things that were, God said they are not allowed to take, and they placed it with theirs. But the thing is, Achan, I think that's his name, am I pronouncing? Yeah, Achan. He never told anyone about it. He hid it. He never came clean about it. And that's what God does not want with us. Many times we would hide away thoughts in our hearts. You have come to Christ, you've overcome pornography, and now you start falling in it again. Now you hide it away from God. You know what? He's going to take His grace away because He wants you to come back and He wants you to share that with Him. He wants you to come boldly to Him and say, Lord, I'm falling with this again. What am I doing wrong? And then He'll tell you. He'll say, you're not spending intimate time with me. You're praying for a lot of things, but you're not sharing your heart with me. In Joshua 7, verse 10 to 12, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore, unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Right after they destroyed Jericho, one of the most impregnable cities that there was, they went to a small village, the people of Ai, and they failed terribly against them. Yeah, Saskia, I. They failed terribly because that accursed thing, that unholy thing was in their midst, and God's holy presence weren't with them anymore, and they couldn't overcome their enemy. And God said, remove it first. And then we see something about Joshua's heart. He runs to God because the fear of God in his life, don't chase him away from God. It chases him towards God. And that's what the fear of God should be in our lives. It should chase us towards God, and it should inspire righteous living. Joshua 7 verse 6, then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth, and his face bore the and his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. So what did he do? When you tore your clothes, you basically in those times you said, I'm no longer who I am. You break your identity, and he runs to God. And where does he spend time? Before the ark, there where God's presence is. Listen to what God tells him. Verse 10 and 13. So the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? He's like, why are you lying on your face? Why are you moaning? Why are you? And he says, go and do something. Be obedient to my voice. He says, get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. So when these things start to surface again, we run to God. The fear of God should inspire us to run to him. And then after we've run to him, we listen to what we should do to remove these things from our lives. Can you quickly put on the next slide? I think, how do I identify it? Paul gives us a clue. And many theologians and many pastors and many dominees, they have a very big bespiegeling. What do you call it? A debate about a dispute or a debate about what was this thorn in Paul's flesh? Because God didn't take it out. He left it there. I'm going to read the scripture and then I'm going to tell you my story. I like stories because it shows God's goodness in our lives. 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. And I had the privilege of sharing it with my friend Paul as well, and we had such a great chat with it, because it's so important that you share your thoughts and your hearts with your friends, because sometimes you get deceived, because it sounds good in here, but it doesn't often sound good when you say it. So it's also good to share with you. And that's why fellowship in a church is so important. Sorry, I'm off the point, but anyways. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Look at how he's saying that, like, my revelations can lead me to pride. He says, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Buffet means to be beaten constantly the whole time. Lest I will be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities or my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. And it comes to this point that even though you can do this thing, that God has called you to do it in your own strength, make yourself undone before him and say, Lord, I can't do this without you. Because otherwise we often exalt ourselves above God. And it's so amazing how God didn't remove it, because it was his indicator. When you walk with a thorn in your flesh, and you walk, you always know about that thorn until it's taken out and it's healed, and then it's okay. The dispute and about theologians about the thorn in the flesh, the Holy Spirit showed me why it's there. He didn't show me what the thorn in his flesh was, just to clear that. It's to draw our attention. It's to get our attention. Because a thorn in your flesh, if you walk with it and it's in your soul, it's like, why is this thing here? I need to get it out. And sometimes we feel the thorn, but we continue to walk. And then it has to, what is swear? then it has to get infected. Let's say infected. Then it has to get infected so that you can really feel that this thing is in my foot. And I need to humble myself before God. And I need to go and spend time with him. Because when we spend time with him, that is when that grace applies. Because then we start to boast in our iniquities and say, God, I am a sinner. God, I am falling in this. God, I'm not making it. I need you. I need your grace. I need your power so that I can overcome this. About 3 weeks ago, I said to God that I'm not like Israel. Very proudly, I said, I'm not like Israel. I don't fall to the ground and then come up again. And a little bit of pride crept into my heart. When we serve God, we serve an emotional God. So my tears dried up. I never cried in front of him anymore. And I know Pastor Yaku in Swakop, he says, if your tears dry up, fear of God has gone away. You need to look at your relationship with God. And I couldn't see what's going on. And I've asked God that if I take pride in myself, if I take worship from Him to me because of something amazing that He does, then He needs to put me through a process of humility, of humbling me. And I was humbled for weeks. For 2 weeks I was humbled. And I'm like, God, what's wrong? And this thorn started to get infected. And he started to take a bit of His grace away. And my work started to become too much for me. And usually it's never too much for me. I've been in hectic situations at work. Impossible deadlines, and it would come through for me. And this wasn't even this impossible. And it became like this impossible thing for me and a heavy burden for me. And I still didn't go to God. And then a third thing happened. Something that I'm not very proud of. God took away some of His grace. And I met a very godly lady other than Yakumin. And there was a thought in my heart that, wow, she has a godly character. She has a godly spirit. And I battled with that thought. And I fought against that thought and it didn't go out. And the second lady came across my path. Also a godly lady. Now this is twice. And the one thing that causes me to run crying to God is when I hurt my fiance. Is when she cries and when she breaks. And that was when this thing has become a pit square. What do you call a pit square? So that I would know that this thing is my foot. And that I would run to God. I had to tell it to her. Because if this is between me and her, then there's something that she doesn't know about me. And there's something that's between me and her. And our intimacy in the spirit and in our emotions died down for a week. And we couldn't understand why. And I was having God's full attention. And I said this to Yakumin and it hurt her and it kind of broke her. And I was at this point where I'm like, I failed as being her potential husband. And it was hectic. And then we have godly friends like Saskia and Paul that prays for us. And Yakumin said, God, if you tell me this one thing, if you tell me that Johnny is my husband, I'll be okay. And she thought she's going to hear it from someone else that she had a conversation with. Because it's never the thing that you think it is. It's always the other thing or the other person. And Saskia SMS's Yakumin. She says, don't worry, Johnny is your husband. And Yakumin could hold on to that word from God. Thank God that He was merciful on me. I ran to God and I spent time with Him. I shared with Him my thoughts. I shared with Him, I'm sorry that I took pride. I'm sorry that I have just removed from Him. Because there was something, there's a common denominator. This has happened to me twice. This has happened to me twice. I think it's going to happen to me a third time. Because God's going to take you to the same position until you learn what He wants you to learn. Until He imparts what He wants you to impart. You can run from it, but it's going to take you to that point again because He wants to strengthen your character and He wants intimacy. And that thing might stand between you and Him. And I spent time with God, really intimate time. For 3 weeks, I've spent religious time with Him. I would wake up 5 o'clock in the morning, and I would pray for everyone else. And I would read scripture, but I would never share my heart with Jesus. I would never share my heart with God. I would never share what was on my heart with Him. And I started to see that I'm sharing everything that's in my heart with Yakumin, but I'm not sharing it with Him. And like I know now, this was the scriptures that He opened up to me. He's jealous. I need to share it first with Him. Before I can share it with her, I need to first share it with Him. Before I can share it with my family, or with my friends, or in front of church. Because our relationship is more important than any other relationship on earth. And God used the situation. He will always use the situation for our good. That's what scripture says. And He uses this to draw me close to Him. And as I'm close to Him again, and I feel His presence, and I start to weep and I start to cry and I say, thank you, Jesus. You are back in my life and I can feel Your presence. And I can feel You tangibly with me. I go to Yakumin the next morning. She said horrible things to me, and she had all the right to. It broke me. And I went on my knees and I held her legs and I said, I'm sorry. And I cried. I broke myself before and I humbled myself before her. And I said, I'm sorry. And you know what? It's right before she went away. And God restored something like this, which we broke in 3 weeks. And we got so close to one another. And it just showed me. And I'm like, God, now I have the revelation. Now I know why you've put me through this for the second time. But there's something I still need to know, because in cell, they told me it's going to happen a third time. And it's okay. This time I'm going to be like Paul and I'm going to boast in it. I'm going to say, God, bring it, because there's something I need to know. And I now know that I need to protect this most holy time with God. When you pray for other people, it's very important. When you pray for the church, and when you do things for Christ, it's awesome and it's important. But that does not mean you're spending time with Him. That's things of God. That's not sharing yourself with God and allowing God to share yourself with Him. And my work just sorted it out itself. Our relationship got sorted out. Why? Because me and God was all right. And men, you won't be able to lead your woman unless you protect that most holy time with God. Same with you, woman. If you don't protect your time with God, you won't be able to submit and serve your husband. And it's very important for me that we remove these unholy things from a most holy place. In the last slide, how do I prevent from ending up here? Because the reason why I'm sharing it is I don't want you to go through what I've gone through. I don't want that. It's spending honest time with God. It's obedience to God's word and the Holy Spirit. And it's to pursue God alone, not God and. When you come to Christ, He asks you to give up everything. He didn't say, you know what? You can have me and something else. No, He asked for everything. And it's very important that we know and understand this. Israel wasn't obedient. I wasn't obedient. But obedience can't come if you don't spend time with God, because it's only His grace that empowers obedience. It's only His grace that sorts out the issues in our lives. So we need to protect that most holy time with Him. And yes, God is love as well. When we turn to Him, we open up our hearts, and we do not hide the accursed thing that is in here, and we open it up to Him, then He relents. And He receives us back. And you know what? Jesus intercedes for us constantly. He died for us. He took our sin and our shame. And I'm speaking specifically to the charismatic Christians. We often get comfortable with God. We often get very comfortable with God. If you're here this morning and you haven't received Jesus yet, then today's also going to be awesome, awesome day for you, because we're going to give an opportunity for that as well. But this is especially for people that struggle with their walk with Christ. You will know what your thorn in your flesh is. Men, usually it's pornography. That thing comes up again. And you get tempted by it. And if you fall in it, then you should know. There's a thorn in my flesh and I need to understand why. Run to God. Spend time with Him. Because you know what? He's going to sort it out. In your own strength. In your own strength, you won't be able to do it. Ladies, I know from experience from my fiancé that sometimes you become emotional eaters. And when things are tough, you eat a lot. More than you should. And that's where you get your comfort. If that thing pops up, you know something's wrong. Run to Jesus. And then you go spend time with Him. Men, we just eat meat, which is good. Especially in Namibia. And then there's a final key. Before I want us to stand and pray. You cannot do it unless you have given everything to Jesus and you've received the Holy Spirit. If you haven't given your life to Jesus and if you haven't got the Holy Spirit, you won't be able to do this. You won't be able to run to God, because it's only by His grace, which is facilitated by the Holy Spirit, that you can overcome. In our flesh, we can do nothing. When I came to salvation, it took me 9 months because I tried to fix myself for 9 months. And I would stop everything for 2 months and I would fall in every sin that you can possibly think of. And then I would stop for 2 months and then I would fall in every sin because I didn't give my heart to Christ. You can't fix yourself. Stop trying. Come to Christ, give everything, receive the Holy Spirit. But it will cost you your life. There's a cost that you need to count, and it's to give up everything. There can't be another person sitting up on that throne. It's only Jesus, and only He needs to be there. Can we quickly stand? Thank you, Lord, that we can have the privilege of being in your presence. Thank you, Lord, that God, this is not going to be a condemning in our heart thing, but this is going to be revelation of your holiness and of your fear. And we're going to have this in the walk that we walk with you, and it's going to inspire us to righteous living, and it's going to inspire us to run to you when we identify that thorn in our flesh. God, and I pray that we would see it. Lord and Holy Spirit, I pray that you would show it to the people, to Shofar, to me, even if I have still have some of it, Lord. God, show it to us. Show us which are those thorns, God. And Lord, we run to you. God, and we humble ourselves before you. And Lord, I pray that you would light out every unholy thing in people's lives and that they would see it and that they would be obedient to remove it. Yes, it's going to be a struggle, but we're going to struggle and fight with you. We're not going to hide it. We're going to bring it into the light, and we're going to fight with you against it, Lord. God, shape us. Show us your glory. Show us your holiness. God, you are awesome. You are magnificent. And thank you for your presence. And thank you for the privilege of being in your presence. If you're here this morning with all eyes closed, and you haven't received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you haven't given up everything for Him, if that's you this morning, I just quickly want you to raise your hand and say, this is me. I haven't accepted Jesus Christ in my life. Thank you for that hand. With every eye closed, I don't want people to feel ashamed, because this is between you and God. If there's anyone else, you haven't had the opportunity to give everything to an awesome God, can you quickly just raise your hand?